I invite you to please pray with me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today we're going to be focusing on our gospel reading from John chapter 14, so I invite you to take your blue pew Bibles and turn to page 901. If you have your own Bible, turn to page 901, or you can use your digital Bible, but I'd like you to have it handy. We're going to be taking a look at a broader scope of John 14 that was covered in our short reading. So John 14, page 901. And our message this morning is going to cover believing in contrast with loving, believing versus loving. Now, first, I want to begin with a story. And my story involves my dad's yard and his seeking of excellence in its looks, from the grass to the bushes, especially to the hedge that surrounds his property. He lives on the corner. And he's got a perfectly manicured, even-topped hedge all the way around. While I was in college, my parents invited the church's youth minister to live with them. And as I recall, he was there for over a year. Jay, as I will call him, had been there for more than just a few months when he offered to help my dad with the yard work. So he had been there for a while. He had seen how my dad cares for the yard. That's one of his primary jobs. And it always has been. He takes great pride in the yard. He had driven by the hedge. He had seen the hedge, so he knew all about the hedge. Well, Jay offered, but my dad's really particular and didn't trust him to mow the yard. Too much damage could happen there. But he did invite Jay to trim the hedges. So my dad left that day, going wherever he was going, and Jay went out and set to trimming the hedges. Well, when my dad came back, he literally stopped his car in the middle of the street, left it running, got out, and said, "What in the world are you doing?" Because the hedge had become individual bushes, perfectly rounded, that Jay had trimmed each bush to be a perfect shape. And Jay smiled at the end while he was still working on the last bush. He smiled, he said, "I'm trimming the hedges." So I want to pause my story there while we dig into John 14, believing versus loving. So the context of John 14, Jesus' final teaching with his disciples before he's betrayed and crucified. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet, as John has recorded. They had shared the Passover meal together, their last supper, and Judas Iscariot had departed the scene to betray Jesus. Right after that, Jesus had pointed out to Peter, "You're going to deny me three times." And that's where John 14 begins. And it begins, take a look in your Bibles, with verse 1. Let's read this verse together. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Don't be concerned. Don't be afraid, Jesus tells his followers. Believe in me. The Greek word translated believe literally means trust in me. Put your confidence in me. Have faith in me. And the usage here in the Greek has the sense that the faith isn't momentary, but that it should continue on into the future. It's not momentary trust and confidence, but a continuing faith. Now look down to verse 12. So Jesus said, "Don't be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me." Now let's read verse 12 together. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." Believe in me, trust in me, Jesus says. Have persevering faith in me. And do you see what he says? "And you will do what I have been doing. And you will do even greater works than these." This is an astounding promise. The disciples knew that because they had witnessed all that he had done. They had witnessed with their own eyes, and not individually, but together as a group. So they all saw these things together. God's power through Jesus, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, calming the storms, casting out demons. Jesus had exercised authority over nature, over health, over death, and even over the spiritual realm in the casting out of demons. And now, he declares that through enduring belief and confidence and faith in him, believe in me, and you, the disciples, will do everything that I've done, even more. That's remarkable. And it's here that Jesus transitions from talking about believing to talking about loving. And we pick it up in verse 15. Again, let's read it together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's pretty straightforward. If you love me, you will obey my teaching. It's not a promise as much as it's a definition of love for Jesus. If you love me, you will keep the entirety of my teaching. You will follow my way of life, as seen in his dependence on the Father. Jesus declares a marker here for one who is his disciple, for one who believes in him and loves him. If you love me, you will keep my teaching. You will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will carefully observe and obey my teaching. And here, believing and loving unite together. And they unite the disciples to God and to Jesus, to lead them to do his work. And love here is defined very clearly and specifically by Jesus to be keeping, carefully obeying his commands, his word and teaching. Love, as defined by Jesus, is the engagement of the whole person obeying his teaching, not just intellectual assent to his teaching, but the whole person obedience. And it's with that same focus that we now pick up this narrative with our reading in verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Those who love Jesus will know and obey his way of life, his instruction, and his example. And this union of love isn't simply shared ideas or feelings, but a shared life with Jesus. And take a look there in that verse 21. In keeping Jesus' commandments, one will share his eternal kind of life, and then will receive reciprocity of love from the Father. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. There's reciprocity there from the Father. And then Jesus continues, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Manifest here carries the sense that Jesus will make himself known to those who follow him, will reveal himself. So loving Jesus and keeping his commandments will lead to Jesus' power in and through you by his Holy Spirit. It will lead you to your experiencing the love of the Heavenly Father. And it will lead to Jesus making himself known to you. Are you hearing and grasping the magnitude of these promises? This is astounding what Jesus is promising. And if that's not enough, Jesus continues in verse 23, and let's read this together. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Jesus restates again for the third time. Must have been important to be said. I'm going to put it in the first person for you. If you love Jesus, you will keep his word, keep his teaching, and the Father will love you. And here's the new promise. And we, Jesus and the Father, will come to you and make our home with you. Jesus and the Father will dwell with you. Not just Jesus living in your heart, but Jesus and the Father dwelling with you. Here is the promise that the one who loves Jesus in this way, obeying his commandments, will experience now in their lives the intimacy that exists between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They will experience now the promised intimacy that will happen when Jesus ascends into heaven and is reunited with the Heavenly Father. This is the promise: God with his people. God with us. God living and present with his people. And we hear the prophetic promise of this reality throughout Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, but we also heard it in our reading from Joel. We read a part of Joel 2, but if you go back a few verses in Joel 2, verse 12, Joel begins, "Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Repent and return to me." And then he goes on to say in verse 25, "Return to me and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. What was lost, I will restore to you." And then verse 27, "And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of my people and that I am the Lord your God and that there is no one else. And my people shall never again be put to shame." Joel prophetically speaks of a future where the Lord will dwell in the midst of his people in a new way. And Jesus, in this passage from John, describes what that will look like. God the Father, God the Son, making their home, intimately dwelling with those who love Jesus and keep his commandments. This isn't simply believing that Jesus is special or believing that Jesus is Messiah. This is a change of life. Loving Jesus this way means living a life that keeps and obeys Jesus' teaching. Following Jesus' dependence on the Father, living Jesus' way of life, keeping his word, knowing his word, living his word. Now back to my story. Jay, the young man trimming my father's hedge, he knew my dad. He knew the yard. And I want to liken it to, he believed that my dad knew what he was doing working in the yard. He believed my dad was pretty good about working in the yard. But then when Jay got the opportunity, there was a disconnect between my father's vision for what was desired and what Jay wanted to do, what he thought looked great. So instead of doing what my father wanted, he did what he thought, "Oh, these hedges are all wrong. Let me fix them." Isn't that what we do in our own lives? Jay trimmed the hedges his own way according to his own desires. Are you following this illustration and how it matches with the gospel? Good. I'm seeing a few nods. That's helpful. Believing in Jesus is very important, but it's only part of the equation that Jesus presents. Believing, trusting, having enduring faith in Jesus is very important, but faith that does not translate into living differently falls short. Jesus makes it clear. Now, here's a different way to make this point. This is a video from author and teacher Francis Chan. I've shown this video before, but you get to hear it again in this context.
When my daughter comes to me and I say, "Hey, go clean your room," she knows better. She's not going to come back a couple hours later and say, "Hey, Dad, I memorized what you said to me. You said, go clean your room. You know, what am I going to say? Oh, good job. That's what I wanted. No. And she's not going to come to me and say, Dad, I can say, go clean your room in Greek. Listen, that's not going to fly. And what if she says, you know what? My friends and I, we're going to gather together, and every week we're going to have a study, and we're going to figure out what it would look like if I cleaned my room. No, none of that's going to fly. Just go and clean it. She knows that. So why do we think that this type of thinking or this type of talk is going to work with Jesus? I mean, Jesus was as black and white as you get. He would look at people and he'd say, why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? He says that in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I ask you to do? I mean, why would you call someone your master and then not listen to him? And he says in Matthew 7:21, he goes, listen, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only the one who actually does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
I should get to wear that at church. I want you to think for a moment. How are you living your life? Do you love Jesus as he illustrates love in this passage? Or are you simply believing him, believing in him, and then living your life on your own terms, trimming your hedges how you see fit? The magnitude of Jesus' promises should implore you to not only believe in Jesus, but to love Jesus this way, following his life of dependence on the Father, because otherwise you miss out on great benefits. Now you may be thinking, I understand this point, but I'm not sure what to do next. I'm not sure how to begin loving Jesus in this way, or what it looks like to live differently. Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I want to leave you with three aspects of loving Jesus in this way: word, community, and mission. First, word. Loving Jesus in the way that he describes involves knowing and keeping his word. Since Jesus is one with the Father, who was with the Father in the beginning, since Jesus is the eternal word, he's the one to watch. Keeping Jesus' word and commandments involves spending time with his word, which is living and active, Holy Scriptures. And his word includes all of Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, the prophets, the New Testament, the Gospels, all of the letters. Anglicans have a collective prayer that encourages Jesus' followers to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God. So as God's Word is living and active, spending time daily and regularly each day, not just one time, but throughout the day, spending time in His Word with His Word is the first aspect of one who will love Jesus in this way, keeping His commandments. So that's the first aspect of loving Jesus this way, word. The second aspect, community. You are not meant to follow Jesus in isolation, individually figuring things out, keeping your life private and separate from others, although that seems safer. God's word's clear. We were created to live in relationship first with Him, the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then in relationship with each other. As Jesus said, we are to love one another. And as scriptures say, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. You need a community of faith around you to encourage and to guide you when you need it, and also where you can encourage others and help guide others out of your own experiences, out of your own mistakes, out of your own areas of repentance and transformation. If church is a building that you visit weekly, say hello but not much else to the other members, then I want to encourage you to take a big step forward and join into the community. Get involved in discipleship, whether it's Sunday morning in between services or hanging around the tables of fellowship in between or after services. Be here on Wednesday evenings for discipleship or just sit at the tables and have dinner together. Get involved in the many opportunities here at Redeemer to serve with others. And in doing so, open and share your life, your joys, your pains with your community. So the first aspect of loving Jesus this way is word, and the second is community. And lastly, mission. Live your new life in Christ in the world. Don't keep it hidden from your neighbors or coworkers or students at school or from your family members. As God transforms you and transforms your life through the living word, live that new life boldly as you follow and obey his commands, and as that transforms you. As opportunities present themselves, share with others how the Lord has rescued you. Share with others how the Lord has changed you, how he has transformed you. Share with them how he gives you peace even when things go horribly wrong. Share with them how there's hope and joy that's eternal and not fickle. And share with them how you continue to follow him, how he continues to transform you. Because the world needs that hope. The world is hungry for that good news that we have in Jesus Christ. You, as a lover of Jesus, are called to live on mission with him. So there are the three aspects of loving Jesus this way: word, community, and mission. And I want to close with Jesus' own words as he declares to you today. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If you love me, you will keep my word. And my Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our home with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.